Hi, this is Heaton Shaw.
And this is Stelly Efty.
We're doing the Startups Chat today, and we're going to be talking about the power of a plan.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah. We want you to do your best.
Yes. So just to set the scene, Heaton is in his car about to park somewhere. I'm back from Thailand, but today we weren't able to meet physically, and I dearly miss you. We start the conversation like we always do. Do you have a topic in mind? And Heaton was like, yes, the power of a plan. We're going to have fun with it. Don't worry about it. I'm like, all right, let's rock and roll. So the power of a plan. Tell me more.
Yeah, sometimes in the recent past, like I'll just find a pattern that's just been working, whether it's as I advise people or in my own life as I go through it and try to do things, hopefully good things. And the thing I'm hitting on is like basically this idea of a plan. And I've found the idea of having a plan, and I don't mean a business plan. I don't mean like, you know, you need to do all this planning or anything. I mean, just literally like a plan. Like I know what I'm doing, I know what I want, and here's what it is, you know, and things like that. So I'll give a few examples, or I'll give one key one that's been really helpful to me, and I'm seeing it work. So lately, probably in the last 10 days, I've seen a lot of conflict between like two people, and it's conflict like just not, it's usually just miscommunication or something like that. And the advice I've given, you know, the most reasonable person in the relationship is basically, what's your plan? I just ask him, what's your plan? Right? Like, how do we take this from a conflict? And usually conflicts are somewhat emotional. So let's say, you know, there's some miscommunication, right? And something needs to be corrected, and two people aren't really working together well. It could be a manager and a team member, or it could be two team members in a company. And I'll just pick the reasonable person and be like, what's your plan? And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, we need a plan to get out of this. We need a plan to change whatever we need to change. So, and then I'll have them work through a plan, and then, you know, we'll think through the other person and what they're saying. And then we'll have a plan on like how to move forward. And it just takes one person to have the humility to basically say, okay, I need to cut through this and essentially have a plan. That's what I call it. And I'm just seeing it mostly in conflict, but I also see it as just a bigger lesson, which is like, it's this power of saying, here's the next steps. What do you think? Right. And tell me how we can do this together, or tell me like where I'm wrong or where we need to add to the plan. But someone has to show up with a plan. That's sort of kind of the big idea in my mind.
That's interesting. Do you think that has a lot to do with, I don't know, I feel like a lot of times we get stuck on the problem. Right. So something annoys us. There's a conflict in this case. You know, we just got an email from somebody, you know, responding to a recent episode that we did about like how to deal with difficult people in your startup and co-founder relationships and all that. And he was talking about like his conflict with his father, right? Being his co-founder, right? And how
That's
difficult
right.
that is and all that. Do you feel like when people are in a difficult situation, when people have a problem, that they just get stuck on that, and we tend to not go, okay, I've identified the issue. What's my plan to fix this? What am I going to do about it? Versus, I'm annoyed by this. This is really a problem. This is really bad. This is really difficult. I don't know what to do with this. Why is this happening? Like just being kind of stuck on the focusing on the problem versus accepting it and then going, okay, how am I going to deal with this moving forward?
Yeah, that reminded me of one of the key tactics actually that I've been using, and it's the analogy of the difference between the forest and the trees.
Okay.
So usually, like if you have a conflict and you're worried about something, you're focusing on the trees. He said this, she said that. He did this to me, she did this to me, or you know, we can't do this, or we need to do that. And those are trees. And then I generally with a plan, you're saying, I'm going to take all the trees and I'm going to take a look at the forest and say, this is where we need to go. This is what we need to do. Right. And then you can get back in the trees, but it's more about, hey, this is what the forest looks like. And, you know, and taking that step level up and then being able to come up with a plan based on looking at it like that. So I think one thing we can do is we might be able to go through this with that, based on that example you gave from the email we just got, if you think that's interesting. So what do you think about this forest and trees? I'm just curious what your take is, because that's the second thing that's been really impactful for me when I when I start using that analogy with people to help them resolve their issues.
I love it. I think it's a really powerful image and imagery because it is, and we talked about this in the prior episode about like dealing with difficult people. One thing that you said that was super insightful, and I've mentioned it in numerous conversations now with other people already, was that, you know, usually when we come together with other people, there were some big things about them we liked. And then over time, we discover all these little things that annoy us or irritate us about them. The problem is that these little things typically are much more frequent. So we're experiencing them at such a high frequency that they seem a lot bigger than the good traits they have, because these big good things are not coming up all the time, right? And I love that, because I find it feels like there's a lot of truth in that. And I think that the tree and forest analogy, it just makes you zoom out a little bit and go, okay, there's this tiny little thing that irritates you. If we zoom out, if we step back, this is the way that I would describe it. If you just step back a few more steps and you gain a bit more distance, so you are capable of having perspective, right? You can't have perspective if you're all consumed by something, if you're just staring at it, if it's like right at your nose, you're lacking the proper distance to be able to evaluate its importance in the context of the overall picture. And that forest and tree thing would make me go, okay, so this tiny thing that annoys me, if I look at the big picture, you know, what's the relationship like? What are the good things here? What's really important, right? And then maybe this little thing is now put into perspective. It's not like all of a sudden the most important thing that bothers me all day long and makes me not be able to sleep, if that makes sense.
Totally. And so let's talk about that gentleman that emailed us, because I think the plan and the forest and tree tactics are actually going to help him. And he wanted us to do a whole episode about kind of his specific thing and make a Q&A out of it, which I think is just not our style currently. And so, you know, one of the reasons I'm mentioning this is because of that email. Another reason is because, you know, practical examples are what you and I like. That way people have more tools. So the example there, let's just start at it and see what happens if you're cool with it. The example there is basically co-founder is his father, right? So it's a son and a father, and they're working on basically a services business. That's what I got out of the email.
Yep.
And there's some conflict. And I think as I read through the email, the main thing I hit on was, and I'm sure you did too, Steli, was that the father is happy with the way things are and wants to keep doing them that way. And the son wants to grow the business. To me, that's like if I go up a couple levels, look at the big picture, it's like there's just a misalignment, right? Yeah. Son wants to do one thing, father wants to do other, but they have a business together. And I think father's happy with where it's at, and the son wants more out of it, which is honestly about typical, especially when you consider a father and son relationship, where like usually, and I've noticed this before, usually the father is like in a different place than the son.
Yeah.
Just by nature, right? Like older gentleman, probably, you know, pretty happy with his life and everything. And
also, I mean, this type of conflict between father and son being in business together, especially the father having a business and then the son coming in and the son wanting to like, then the two of them starting a new business, but the son being a lot more ambitious, probably a lot more risk taking. This is an example. I know at least five other people that have gone through the same kind of conflict. And it seems to me, as you said, that this is kind of, if you step back and consider the big picture, you have two people in a totally different stage in their life. You have probably somebody, if it's an older gentleman that's been an entrepreneur for a while or has run businesses for a while, somebody that has tasted failure a bunch of times as well, has tried things that didn't work, and it's just a bit more cynical, a bit more risk averse, and is like, this shit's working and all this crazy, let's scale this and make this huge shit. I don't want to deal with that. And the young son, I mean, he obviously has all the ambition, all the energy, has a different evaluation of risk and probably might be a bit more, you know, ignorant or a bit more, a bit more romantic. But that's obviously also something that's beautiful. And these two people are just at different stages in their business career and want different things.
Yeah, and I go back to that word we've been using a lot lately, which is alignment.
Alignment,
It just seems like they don't have the alignment. And so this whole idea of the power of a plan for me and this, you know, forest and trees, it's basically like, I believe the son should basically get the alignment with the father. And I think the way to do it is by actually having a plan, right? And calling out the things he mentioned to us in the email, right? Like, hey, dad, like, these are the things, this is the way you want it. These are the things, right, that you're thinking about and how you're operating this. And that's great, right? Like in making sure you're mentioning kind of the contributions, and then talk about like where you want to take it and what plan you have for taking it while still respecting what you believe. So, you know, in a case when you don't have alignment with your co-founder, regardless of who your co-founder is, I think somebody has to create a plan. It doesn't sound like in this case, his father's going to create the plan because the father's happy with the way things are, at least based on the email we got, right?
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then he should come up with kind of a plan. And in his case, I think there's a format you can do it in where you talk about kind of the current state of things and the responsibilities, which actually he described to us pretty well. I'm not going to go into the details, but it's basically the current state of things, how the business is running. And then the idea that like, you know, hey dad, you probably don't want to grow it the way I do. And that's cool. So let's figure out like, you know, how to align here and make it so that you can keep doing what you're doing, but I can also figure out how to get this business to grow because that's what I really value and that's what I want, right? And then the power of the plan comes in when you've thought through it and you suggest next steps. So the plan to me is just key next steps that you can align on, basically. Because if there's no plan, there's no alignment, in my opinion.
Yeah, and the other funny thing is that, I mean, it seems like, and he mentioned this, that he has tried to convince his father of his way, you know, thinking. And every time he has that conversation, it seems like his father's even more set on keeping his opinion. So he basically is like, I mean, he didn't say it, but you could just tell him thinking, every time I try to like sit down and convince this old man that I'm right, he's even more convinced that he's right. Like, this isn't working. And to me, it's funny that once that happens once or twice, you have to sit down and ask yourself, okay, so there's a few options here, right? I could try to keep convincing him, but that ain't working right now. Can I live with his truth? Can I just, you know, submit to his thing?
And his plan.
Yeah. And not wanting to grow the business, just try to maintain it? No, I can't. All right, so what's the third alternative? Well, we need to find some kind of a compromise, or we need to find some way to, in a positive fashion, kind of separate.
That's right. You know,
right? So that could be within one business, we just start kind of two different divisions, or it could be that we have a plan to, you know, divide up the business and run them separately, or I'm going to have to leave and start my own thing.
Yeah, and what I love about that is a plan is just a plan, right? And what you're talking about is even options. So it's like, the way I see it is like, if you're not ready, if you think the other party wants to help pick an option, then give them a few options and each option has a plan. And everything you said there, there's probably two or three options right there.
Right.
Right. And to me, each of those options has a separate sort of few next steps, right? Because you want to give people an idea of what that option looks like. And so I've seen two circumstances. I think this is really interesting. I've seen a circumstance where the other party just needs one plan, right? Like they just need the plan because they're putting everything on you. They're putting everything on the part on you know, they're putting everything on someone else. So, and that person who they're putting it on needs to come up with one plan. Then there's another scenario where options are better. And that's what you're describing. In the case of him and his father, I don't know which tactic works better, but there are distinct differences between the two. So what I mean by that, and I've seen both work recently, and it's been interesting, but in one option, if somebody's giving signals in such a way that they don't want to pick, and I've heard words like, I don't care, right, in conversations. And when people are in that place, right, where they're just like, I don't care. This is what I believe. This is what I want. Then the other person needs to find a way to like, have one plan and say, here's the plan. Here's what I want to do. I think I'm accounting for all your needs, right? What do you think? And I've seen about a 90% hit rate on that if you've thought through the other person's needs and you have one single plan. And so for the gentleman that emailed us, I would ask him, hey, which one is better? Does your dad want to help decide the options? Or is this something where you just need to decide one option and then make everything sort of go that way by getting his feedback and all that?
Let's step out of the example real quick. I'm curious, do you have a specific format when you come up with a plan? Some people like to put together, like write things down, right? Because it really helps them think it through and it forces people to think precise. So some people have the format of like putting everything down on a page, or I think famously Amazon, if you're in a Jeff Bezos meeting, you have to like write out everything you want in like whatever 2 to 5 pager, and they all sit there and for like 10, 15 minutes, everybody just reads your plan first. And then they jump into a conversation versus you presenting your plan to everybody. So there's different, some people like to, whatever, whiteboard or mind map. Like, do you have a format or do you not care? You're agnostic to how you get to the plan and how you put together a plan. You just find that people don't have one.
I'm completely agnostic because just the idea of a plan usually makes people scared. Right? They're like, wait, there's a plan? Yeah, there's a plan. Whose plan is it? Everyone's plan. You know, everyone's plan. Like, and so there's a bunch of stuff with the word plan. Also, we're used to saying business plans are shit in startup land, right? Like you shouldn't have one. So when I use the word plan, I just mean like we know what we're doing next.
Okay.
Right? And so I'm using the word plan because that's the best word I can think of, the power of a plan, right? But at the end of the day, all I'm trying to figure out in a situation is what's next, right? And I think all the things you mentioned, whether it's a Jeff Bezos style or I can even come up with frameworks and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, there's a bunch of stuff going in your head, right? And what's going on in your head, you need to figure out how to be able to communicate to someone else. And that's the crux of this, right? It's like everything, when that gentleman, and I know I'm going back into the example, but when that gentleman emailed us, right, he has a plan of what he wants to do. He didn't say it like that, but you can read it in between the lines, correct? So why not just say, here's what I want to do. Here's what my father wants to do. And then here's the plan based on those two things. So it's basically like figuring out things about each party, where the differences are, and then coming up with a plan that respects everybody. And honestly, the plans that I've seen lately are like are the plans I've helped people do kind of like in this vein. A lot of times they're about disengaging with the other party. But yet, like you said, it should be done respectfully.
Right. You know what? What I find, and this might be my tip for the episode, I find that when there's conflict or when there is doubt, like I have a problem, I have a challenge, I have something I'm unhappy about, but I'm not sure how to deal with it, right? What happens is because I feel bad about this thing or because I feel overwhelmed or because I feel doubtful, I only face thinking about this issue for a few seconds, and then I typically step into a habit of trying to push it away, right? Try to distract myself with something else because it feels uncomfortable. And that is, I think, a lot of the times when I interact with people, that is probably the main reason why they don't have a plan for their problems, is because they've thought about the problems a million times, but only for a few seconds each time, because they're not comfortable to sit there for like whole hour or even for 10 whole minutes without distractions and really think about it. You would probably not be stuck at the problem phase if you think about something for an extended period of time. But the reason why you never put a plan together or